got Brother and Sister Howard in the house tonight. They are such a blessing to us, and we want to pray for them that they'll do a mighty work in Austin, Texas. It is interesting to me that Evangelist Keith Clark founded that church, and then Chris Kraft, who is no stranger to this fellowship, who preached about a five-week revival for us, and we saw 40 receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He pastored that church, and now these Howards are there, and that's got to be a revival church. Going to be a revival church. But I appreciate them so much. They've been a blessing to this house, and it was wonderful to be in service with him this morning, and I'm glad that he's here tonight. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. You loved ARC, you love revival, you love praying people through the Holy Ghost. You love having good church every time we open the doors. As much as you love it, hell hates it. And in this place today, just this morning, we went up in the midst of this city and we drew a line. And we said, devil, we're going to have revival. We're going down to the fountain. We're going down to the civic center. We're going to blow the walls off this town. We're going to have revival. And in this service this morning, I felt a devil stand up and say, you're going to have to fight me every inch of the way. But I've got news for him. We're willing to fight him. We're willing to press through. Come on, we're willing to press through this thing tonight. If you think you're going to take a city just la-di-da-di-da, you don't. You've got something else coming. But if you'll be the one that Jesus was talking about when he said the violent take it by force. If you believe it, shake your neighbor a little bit and say, we're going to take this city. We're going to take it for God. Come on. We're going to take it in this service tonight. Brother Howard, come on. I want you to come and take your liberty tonight. And if you feel something pressing against you, push back. And if you feel something holding you down, press back. I'm glad you're here. We love and appreciate you. Take your liberty.
Well, I think I might just do that. Praise the Lord. Sister Howard, where are you at? Why don't you come up here and testify? Now, don't get too close to that piano because it might grab you a little bit. She's sick tonight, but I don't know. She still hates the devil. I don't care. Now, this is all hers now, folks. I don't know. She needs a bass player, she's saying. I guess that means she needs the musicians up here. And you testified. She was sick today. And I leaned to her. And as she, y'all was saying something about, we're going to take this city. She turned to me and slapped my hand real hard. She says, we're going to take Austin. I need a twin city to help me take their cities. Austin and Birmingham, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Not the only is there going to be 1,000 in Birmingham, there's going to be 1,000 in Austin. And before it's all over, the United States and the United Pentecostal Church is going to say, how did Alabama do it? How did Texas do it? There was a group of people that believed God was able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Oh, you don't believe me. You don't believe me. You may sit down if you're tired.
think we need to speak to that demon that Brother Sutton was just talking about. There ain't no devil that's big enough to hold New Life back. I believe it. The Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost when I was 5 years old. And Brother Howard talked a lot, a little bit the other night about this song, and I actually have had it on my heart ever since, and I am sick, and I don't really feel like singing. So I'm going to sing this to the devil tonight. I started out. I said I started out when I was 5 years old to win this old race. I said I'll serve you, Lord. I'm going to look upon. Got rough? Can I give you a solution for it? Stand right square up in the air. Throw your head up.
Children's way. Get out of my husband's and wife's way. Get out of my financial way. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight, praise God. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. Samuel chapter 16, 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to say, as you are turning there, Exodus chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and then 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to say I appreciate New Life
seen when you were in the old building, see what you're doing now, know where you're going in the future. Praise God. Amen. I just want to say thank you, brother and sister Sutton, for being an example of pastoring, leadership, visionary, burden bearer, friend to all. But most of all, the Suttons are a friend of God. And I'm so glad that they're a friend of Sister Howard and myself. We appreciate them so very much, and their daughters. I'm just sad that none of my boys married one of them. Well, there's one left. Where's the big boy at? Praise God. Kyle, you better get to work right now if you want one of these Sutton girls. He's okay? All right. And but we love them very much. And, you know, evangelizing like we were doing and then pastoring like we are now, somewhere in the future, would you allow your pastor, and I know it's hard for him to get away, would you allow your pastor and pastor's wife to come and help anoint Austin Tabernacle with the spirit of new life and their vision? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But I, coming from Modesto as we have, and your pastors so many times spoke of those things, and helping Randy Keys there for 9 years, and then traveling and being around folks that have been blessed. The Rock Church, Brother Nathaniel Wilson's brother, Brother Haney in that building, and all of these things. Let me just say this, for whatever it's worth. There's things that New Life has that those churches don't have.
Right.
And I appreciate the revival that they have, and I say that sincerely. But there are some things that New Life has that they don't have, and that is what I want. Now, they do got these things, and I'm glad they got these. But there's an element at New Life that nobody else has. Maybe you didn't catch that. When you've traveled and you've evangelized and you've been around the nation and around in the countries where revival is, there is this, I'm going to use the word, this magic. This something that New Life has that nobody else has. And I'm telling you, if I could bottle it up and sell it, I'd be a Holy Ghost millionaire. Oh yeah, Modesto's got that little bottle of something, and Louisiana's got that little something, and Dallas has that little something. But New Life, you don't have to stand in the shadows of the spirit of revival, because there's something that you have that you are breaking open like an alabaster box on the feet of Jesus, and it's going to spread, and they're going to say, hey, what is that anointing? And they're going to say, it's New Life. I just spoke something and you didn't even know it. I said, I just spoke it and you didn't even know it. You're too busy just jumping and shouting to understand a divine revelation. My God. Exodus. There you go. Fold that puppy. Now, if you're wondering what all this trash is, it's your problems from today. And that's just what it is. Trash. You need to treat your problems like trash. And you need to take it every time the devil brings it up and throw it right back down in a Holy Ghost trash can. And say, devil, you're not going to bring my past up. You're not going to bring that junk out of the sewer. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, and I'm not about to go dumpster diving. Oh, you folks are tired. Now let me tell you this. You may have that, and Modesto may have that, and Dallas may have that, but Kelly Howard never gets tired. A matter of fact, the more you pour it on, the more I like it, and that's the way, I like it. I'm not your boogeyman. I'm the Holy Ghost man, and somebody is going to get blessed tonight. My God. Exodus chapter 3. Yeah, I'm going to read a text. I could just take off. But well, Brother Godwin was saying Friday night, just go with it, Bo, just go with it, Bo, just go with it, Bo. I'm reading tonight for those that feel that we need a scripture. Hello? Get on with your bad self. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside, everyone say backside, of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel, everyone say angel, of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Don't have time to read the whole thing, but we'll pick it up right about here. Verse 10. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel said unto Jesse, Lord, as the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngster in Birmingham, Alabama. There's still one for revival. There's still one. 7's passed before, but there's still one more that's gonna get anointed. There remaineth yet the youngster. Amen. This may be the youngster church, but hold on, it's gonna get anointed. And behold, he keepeth the sheep over in Trustville. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch for him, for we will not sit down till comes hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy, snotty nose, with all beautiful countenance and goodly to look up to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint this church, for this is the church. Give you a little taste of where I'm going. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 19. So Elijah departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12th yoke of oxen before him, and with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him, cast his mantle on him, And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my mama and daddy goodbye, and then will I follow thee." And Elijah said, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments and the oxen, gave unto the people, packed his suitcase, put his hat on, and he never looked back. He arose and went with Elijah and ministered in end time revival. Spirito Santo, hallelujah. Gloria a Dios, avivamiento, Jesus Cristo. I feel this tonight. I promise you right now. Amen. I have not stepped to this podium with a note in my mind, nor even a thought. Matter of fact, before I stepped to this podium, I was praying that something would juking and jiving and twisting and turning and rolling and bumping and grinding, whatever it was, would take that choir and we just have a Holy Ghost blowout. And as I stand here right now, I am scared to death. I got a Jake leg up here. I'm shivering. Look at this right here. I have no idea what the Lord is about to do in this service. But I'll tell you one thing. Devil, get it out of New Life's way, because divine intervention is going to happen tonight. What I'm going to ask you to do. Amen. You know how to preach with the preacher. You know how to stand around him and rub his shoes and shine his bald head. You know how to beat this pulpit with a joy break, and you know how to twist and turn and run and jump. But I am praying that this church from this night just goes up a little bit higher. Some people live for their church to get this high. New Life, you're already here. It's time for something greater. You can outrun the best. You can outshout the best. You can help the preacher preach with the best. But New Life, there is something greater that's in store for a church that has been looking out the window of revival and looking at everybody saying, "We want that, we want that, and we want that." But understand, it's not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside, that only God is. You may be seated, please. You see, I'm being real careful tonight. Sister Howard turned to me during the singing and the preaching of exhortation of your pastor. And she said, "Honey," I love it when she calls me honey. That means I'm not in trouble. She said, "Honey, at New Life, I guarantee if Brother Sutton was up there right now and he turned to the congregation and said, 'Jesus loves pepperoni pizza,' they'd go crazy." And can I tell you something? I wouldn't want it any other way.
Because when you got a congregation that's like a bull inside the pen that's saying, you're not going to keep me in here. We're going to buck the devil off every time that we get a chance, because we're not scared and we're not backing up and we're not turning around, because we've got our minds made up. We're squared our shoulders and we're saying, devil, get out of our way, because our minds made up. I've preached in the greatest of churches, and I thank God for it. And I appreciate every time that I have the opportunity to grace the pulpits of great men of God with their great churches. But there is something that is happening at New Life that's been building for years and years and years. And where two or three agree, everything's going to be established. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Hallelujah. Sitting in the prayer room before church tonight, amen, walked into the back, amen, I heard Sister Bonnie. Oh my God, Bonnie, where are you at? Where's Bonnie? Oh, Bonnie. Oh, Bonnie, 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 Bonnie. The devil don't like Sister Bonnie. Devil don't like you, Sister Bonnie. You know why? Because you're anointed. And sometimes, Sister Bonnie, the way may seem rough and the road might be long, but you keep in your mind one thing: devil, get out of my way. She's come too far to turn back now. You better thank God. Some sisters lay hands on her. Every time you come to church and you feel backslid, there's a Sister Bonnie saying, come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Let that work of God be done right there. Virtue going back into her. Sickness that's unknown. You can't touch an anointed thing of God. You're not going to go, Sakaboko. You don't know where I'm going tonight. New Life, we're going somewhere higher than where you've been before. It's just not about the shout tonight. It's not about the run tonight. It's a divine intervention of God that's going to bring you into an unstoppable revival. Some of you are standing around waiting to find out what's going on. You know what I've done? I've slowed New Life down just enough to let the Holy Ghost do something now. Don't get me wrong. Don't stop running. Don't stop shouting. But God is saying, New Life, give me a chance to get your attention, to take you somewhere that you've never been before. Raise your hands. It's a natural flow. It's a natural flow in New Life. We're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep preaching for worship. But there is a natural flow. There's a fountain that flows out of new life. Pastor said, all hell is going to try to come against us. But you hear me. Your father, Pastor Sutton, dug a well. And ain't no devil going to be able to stop up the fountain. Because there's such a force, such a pressure that's coming out. There was many days that they would come down, Brother Sutton, and stop up the well. But you've come to a place where it's a natural flow. And there's something that... This is why, excluding myself, men of God, love... to come to new life. Let me tell you something about the preaching business. Preachers go around preaching a lot of places, and they enjoy preaching at places. But in the quote unquote preacher evangelist world, there is this little unprecedented connection that starts to filtrate amongst anointed men, prophets, anointed men of destiny, that they are driven to certain churches and certain places for divine acts of God. And men begin to say, hey, I don't feel like I need to go there. But if Brother Sutton calls me, I'll be there as fast as I can. You know why? Because people that are spiritually minded gravitate towards a fountain of anointing. And you know what's happening to this church? There's a gravitational pull of anointing that's coming to this church that's going to be drawing even men that Brother Sutton doesn't even know. But because of the divine intervention of God, you don't hear me, and I know you don't understand, but the pastor does. There's going to be people that are driven here because of the anointing. I don't think you caught that. Let me explain it to you this way. When someone's playing college ball, hey man, now I got your attention. And the scouts are scouting. Let me tell you, are you still with me here? And those scouts start coming around, and that young player is looking up and he's saying, ah, there's the scout from such and such team that never makes it to the playoffs. Oh, there's the scout from such and such team. Amen. They never go no place. But when the big dogs walk in, hey man, they're squaring their shoulders, and I'm saying, and they say, I hope that team, hey man, pulls me in because that's the team I'm going for. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that God has positioned this church with such worship, anointing, power, and glory, that God is taking preachers and divinely, instrumentally putting them like the planets in a line for an apostolic outpouring that goes beyond your... Oh, there I am again. It came back, a revival that goes beyond your imagination.
Raise your hands. Keep on praying. I'm just going to tell you what's going through my brain. God is going to give Pastor Sutton such divine wisdom in orchestrating a revival that he thought he had planned out already. But there's going to be a hand of God that all of a sudden changes this man. When I hear the man of God saying, something touched me that's never touched me before, you know what that is? That's a divine direction of God for this pastor and this church. When I hear your pastor say, something touched me, I've never had an experience like that before. I was in the greatest move of God that RARC has ever had. You know what? It starts from the top and works down. And if God is doing that to your pastor, amen, can you imagine what's going to explode out of the anointing of this man? I don't know if you caught that. You may be out there right now saying, I don't know what's going on. Oh my God, the sons of Jesse did not understand what was going on. But there's an anointing that's coming on your pastor that's going to cause new life, go places they've never been before. I've seen it. Before anything ever happens to a church, it happens to the man of God first. Moses was on the backside of a desert. God was about to lead Israel out. Before he led Israel out, there was a divine visitation and experience to Moses before it ever touched Israel. Before there was ever an Israel that was led by David, there was a divine, oh God. And let me tell you something, the spirit of Saul. While too many are falling, and oh my God, someone say hallelujah. The spirit of the deception of the end time. Amen. This man will not be deceived. This man will not succumb to lukewarmness and compromise. Let hell know that you're behind your pastor. Let hell know that you're behind the man of God.
God is looking for men to anoint. And he goes by one, and he goes by another, and he goes by another until he finds a man that's in love with his flock. One of the greatest attributes of a revival pastor is not, yea, and it is, his preaching, and yea, his knowledge, yea, and it is. But God does not bypass and almost holds up even greater than any other thing that he does when a pastor loves his people. And I rebuke the spirit that ever says that this man of God doesn't love each and every one of you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You may as well get out in the parking lot and get underneath the truck if you don't think that Pastor Sutton and this woman of God doesn't love you. That's one of the divine instruments of God that he uses to anoint for an end time revival. I have never been around a man that is so much focused. And my pastor was very focused. And the men of God that I've ran with are very focused. Hey, man, I thought Randy Keyes was one of the most focused men, and he is. And my superintendent, and he is. And Brother Wilson, and he is. But I'm telling you, this man doesn't deviate. Hey, man, he doesn't turn to the left. He doesn't turn to the right. He keeps pushing, 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 because something is touching him from that other world. I'm just going to tell you, this should be the greatest message that this church hears, not because of me, but to let hell know that we're preaching about the anointing on our pastor, the anointing of revival. And we should be saying, devil, we're believing everything that evangelist pastor said. Come here. And the scripture says in 1 John, oh, I speak to you older ones because you were with him at the beginning. This man is anointed because that man, amen, loves this man, and this man is loyal. I don't care how high you jump, how fast you run, you'll never have the blessings of God greater than a man that has loyalty to the man of God. One of the key instruments of a revival church is the anointing of the man of God and warriors that'll stand by his side, that when he turns, they're running to Bethlehem to get a cup of water to bring back. Oh, there's some of you that aren't in this thing, and I'm telling you, it doesn't matter, because you'll be found without a pastor and an anointing, but there's going to be somebody. Is this all right? I knew you'd let me go. Where's your keys? Where you at? Yeah. He's sitting on that chair in pastor's office today on the couch. I need some of them keys.
I need some of them keys. He ain't up here testifying. He ain't up here singing a song. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I ain't him seeing doing the... You know what I see him doing all the time? You'll get the keys too when you start. When you start to realize and buy into this thing, instead of just sitting on that pew, just kicking back, watching the view, why don't you get off the pew and get in the middle of this revival? And he said, I'll give you those keys, but you can't have a key to the pastor's office. Pastor's only going to give a key to that door to those that deserve it. Someone say amen. Amen. Get the pastor's key. You know which one it is? He went right to it. No, you don't got to. Just show it to me. It's wore out. It's getting all faded. But one of the keys to the revival is somebody that is honest enough and loyal enough to hold it. Illustration. And if God is willing to place a revival in this man's hand, he is looking for somebody that he can entrust, amen, with the key that says, look, it's everything I am, it's everything I live, it's everything I breathe. All I'm asking you is be loyal to the very end. Church, what God is looking for is a people and a pastor that's on the same page with the same key, with the same desire. I believe God has found a David. I believe God has found a David. This man is so humble and he is so uncomfortable about me preaching about him. I'm just going to ask him, let me tell you something. Pastor Sutton, man of God, you are called, you are ordained, and you are destined. Amen. And there's a people that will fight hell in high water and will tell anybody, you better shut your mouth. Quit talking about my pastor and hell. You can't have him. You can't take him. If Randy Keys called me right now on my cell phone and said, throw the microphone down, get on a plane, and come to my house, honey, I'd do it. What God is looking for is the anointing. Oh, my God. There's always a divine intervention to a man of God right before something happens. Before it happens for the people, it's going to happen for the man of God. Elijah was hooked up. Come on, Blue. Come on. Yep. Whoopa. Elijah was plowing with the 12th. You can go stand by your pastor. Yeah, boy. All 12 of them. Yeah. Yeah. You know what God has seen in this church? Amen. Men. Come here, man. Come on. Men that are hooked up. Amen. Men that are hooked up. Come on. Don't go too far now. Just act like you're walking now. Come on. He's an ox. Yeah. Plow through this thing called revival. Plow through this thing. What God has seen in this church is a church that's been in the field plowing, plowing in the heat of the day, plowing, passing out tracks, working hard, plowing, sun up, sundown, push, 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 push. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying right now. This church has been pushing, plowing, pushing, plowing, pushing, plowing. While a lot of people are waiting for revival to knock them on the head, there's a man of God with a congregation that's out in the field. Come on. The ground needs broke up. The harvest needs ready. Come on. With the 12th, I'm wondering if there's 12 men that'll dedicate themselves to the man of God like the disciples did to Jesus that turned their world upside down. He's plowing with the 12th. Here's where I'm at. And as he's plowing, he has no idea what's about to happen to him. He has no idea what's about to happen to him. And just one day, something touches him. Ah! And he sees the backside of a prophet. Hey, wait a minute. Something touched me at ARC. Something touched me, and I don't understand. A divine move of God came by, and your pastor. You still don't get it, do you? You still don't understand it, do you? I don't expect you to. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, there's a mantle that's resting on the man of God of this church. And he says, what is it? What touched me? What do I do? I don't know. I was just doing strange things I've never done before. I felt something I've never felt before. Oh, I don't know if you understand this. Amen. There are things that you're not going to understand that's never happened to you before. Some of you have clocked out. You may as well go to Chili's. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, amen, when your pastor was looking out at ARC, amen, it's a wonder I don't say CRA, as dyslexic as I am, amen, and he brought before you tonight, amen, and he showed you on there. You just got a little voice of the vision that's going to come to pass. A man without a vision shall perish. And he's saying, hey, you know what I see at ARC? I see new life. And some of you, you know, it's... all of a sudden, what was that? Something touched me. I've never felt that before. I've never done that before. I step to that podium each Friday, Thursday, and Friday night. Thank you, brother. And it was ironic that all of a sudden, you better catch this, in a missions conference in Modesto, a young fiery evangelist was preaching. And all I was just somebody that carried the keys. And Keith Clark was preaching. And I fell down flat on my face. And while everybody else was going to dinner, I was snotting on the ground. Stay with me. And from that day forward, I felt wow. And 18 years later, I'm standing in a service with the mantle that touched me. A conference orchestrated along with others, with my pastor. Stay with it. Watch, Brother Sutton. And all of a sudden, here I am, 45 years old, along shoulders of the man of God that hell knows and hell fears, and us binding and working together, and an intervention of the Holy Ghost coming in. Are you following me right now? And he turned and he said, and Brother Godwin was there because he knows, and we felt something from days gone by. And he said, I remember this feeling at the PSR convention. You don't understand what he said, but those that have been touched from those services, when they were running about 300 people and going to those conferences in the early days, I'm talking about Sacramento and Modesto and other churches that would gather there, when they were running about 300, they would be in those services, and it wasn't within about 2 to 3 years that something began to turn, and they're running 700, 800, 900, 1,000 people. And with tears, Brother Clark said, I remember this. Sister Howard turned to me and said, I remember the freshness, pureness, and the Holy Ghost that moved in those conference days. What I'm trying to tell you is, there was a divine intervention that not only happened for everybody, but there was a destiny for new life. Mr. Howard. I turned to Brother Godwin. This reminds me of the old days. I turned to Brother Clark and said, my God, I remember when we used to do this. You know what was happening? There was old territories that hell feared that this church would come to, that some old-timers understood it, and they dusted off, amen, the Ark of the Covenant, and David is bringing the power. Some of you done clocked out. Stand to your feet. But the rest of us, the rest of Israel, would you raise your hands right now? Couple praise singers. Bonnie, come on up here if you're not babysitting. How did it happen? We were running, we were screaming, we were jumping, we were pushing, we were doing everything out there, but I'm telling you, it just was a divine intervention of God that just one day met Moses. One day met David. One day that met Elijah. And it was one day, if I haven't said anything, listen to me now. For so long, he was standing on the outside looking on the inside. Oh, I wish I could see the glory of God. Oh, I pray that I could just see the way that they do it. Oh, I desire that I would be able to stand just next and rub shoulders so I could see how they do it. And it was just a day like any other day. That an angel came by and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been answered. Your alms have been received. Your dedication has paid off. Now you're going to open up a whole spiritual nation. Would you come and stand in these altars if you're following with me tonight? If you're kneeling in the altars, kneel. But as many as would come around this end. For some, I'm not making sense. For some, you're oblivious to what's being said here tonight. To some, you just wish we would be over. But for the rest of us, Sister Sutton, I know you got that baby. But whatever I'm saying to the man of God goes for you too.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost let it fall on me.
It wasn't a seminar that changed it. It wasn't a leadership. It's the anointing that's resting on new life tonight. It's the anointing that's resting on loyal people. It's the anointing that's resting on saints of God that are sold out.
Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing, let it fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
A divine intervention of the Holy Ghost.
Fall.
Tell you something.